The El Paso Museum of Art will unveil the newly renovated galleries of the Samuel H. Crist Collection of European Art on Friday, May 11th. This is the first time that the Crist Collection has been comprehensively reinterpreted and reinstalled since the museum moved to its current downtown location in 1998. All three galleries will now exhibit the Museum of Art's European masterworks according to theme, offering visitors a fresh perspective on the most iconic subjects of the history of Western art. Here to talk Crist Collection, our senior curator, Dr. Patrick Cable, and Crist Interpretive Fellow, Elizabeth Dwyer. Welcome to State of the Arts.
Hi.
Thank you.
Patrick, I didn't realize that there was such a thing as a Crist Fellow. Will you tell us about this program?
Well, we're so happy to have Dr. Elizabeth Dwyer as our Crist Interpretive Fellow. And also, it was a stroke of genius on the part of our director, Dr. Victoria Ramirez, to think to apply to the Crist Foundation, because the Crist Foundation, similar in my mind in art history, you have sort of two big names in terms of fellowships, Mellon and Crist. They give a lot of money for a lot of really prestigious and competitive fellowships. Mm-hmm. And in this case, we applied to the Crist Foundation for an interpretive fellow to reinterpret our Crist collection and reinstall it. So she's really been hard at work to interpret via didactic labels the collection in a much more engaging way and to really highlight the collection in a way it wasn't highlighted before.
Enter Elizabeth into our world.
Thank you. Delighted to be here. Yes, I arrived in El Paso in mid-September. I've been here about 7 months working on the reinstallation, and we are just on the brink of it opening now officially to the public on Friday, May 11th. So we're quite excited at the museum about this.
And what's it like? I mean, you knew you were coming here to reinterpret this super, very important collection. What's that like for you?
Oh, you know, honestly, it was phenomenal. I finished my PhD last August, and I moved to Texas in September, so it was really thrilling. I've worked at several museums, but I haven't had the opportunity to have such a hands-on experience with truly a remarkable collection. Samuel H. Crist is best known for his Italian paintings, and we, in fact, were gifted 59 works of art. And from the very beginning, even the curator of research from the Crist Foundation, Fernresque Shapley, commented on how excellent El Paso's collection really
There's
is.
There's a Botticelli in our museum.
There is, yes, one of my favorites.
And this is really her field, too. That's why she was awarded this very competitive fellowship, because her PhD was actually on Venetian Renaissance portraiture, so it fits in squarely with our Crist collection.
So you're just in heaven.
Yeah, essentially, yes. Yes, well said. Yeah, the paintings are beautiful. The portraits alone, when I was developing the galleries, just rediscovering the stories behind the paintings, so many of which are from the Renaissance, but really stretch into the 18th century Rococo, giving me new things to discover as well. So it's been phenomenal.
Is there a painting in the collection that you were maybe aware of but changed your perspective a little bit, you know, because you think you know something, but then when you start really digging in,
oh, absolutely,
things change, right?
Yes, no, you're absolutely right. So as Patrick mentioned, my focus and my specialty for my dissertation was actually the early modern portrait, both north and south of the Alps, and I was thrilled with our collection. You know, we have a Lorenzo Lotto, who was one of the premier portraitists in 16th century Italy. I mean, you could think of him a little bit like the Annie Leibovitz of his day.
Nice.
Painted many, many people. But I enjoyed kind of branching beyond, because our portraits really extend through the 18th century. There's really a magnificent example by Hyacinthe Rigaud. He painted just the year prior to our portrait, Louis XIV, of all people.
Yeah, and he was really Louis XIV's favorite painter.
He sat for him and the whole thing.
Yes, and apparently it was widely copied. The Getty out in Los Angeles has a copy after the portrait that Hyacinthe Rigaud did of Louis XIV.
So you're saying we have the original?
No, we do not have the original.
We don't.
We have the portrait that he painted only a year after that of a French magistrate, which is monumental in scale and just, I mean, when you look at it,
just as magnificent as Louis XIV.
I think so. The symphony of textures alone. If you see that painting, if nothing else, for the textures that he achieves, it's quite remarkable. So I enjoyed learning more about the conversational style of that painting. And going a bit further in time, Lorenzo Tiepolo, we have two beautiful pastel portraits. And pastels are famous for their velvety textures. And if anyone's ever tried, quite a difficult medium. So I was just kind of mesmerized by the medium of these two particular portraits from the 1760s. And of course, at the time, it was wildly popular to be portrayed in pastel. So it's very nifty that we have those particular portraits. So I've enjoyed learning the different stories and the media that these portraits were produced in, among other things. It's still difficult to determine a favorite.
And you're doing something unique because there's a Madonna and Child that's double-sided.
Yeah, exactly. So when I was looking at the reinstallation and the stories that we could tell, I really started looking at the paintings. Mm-hmm. And one of the remarkable things about our particular collection that was officially gifted in 1961 to the city was that we actually own 12 different images of the Madonna and Child spanning four centuries, beginning with the Byzantine and kind of ending with this censorial Queen of Heaven done by Zurbaran, you know, in 17th century Spain. And so one of the things I wanted to do when I was looking at these different paintings was not only make that the theme of our first gallery, the Madonna and Child, but I wanted to highlight the function behind some of our paintings. So for instance, this painting you're talking about, yes, by the Sienese artist Senna Di Pietro, it's double-sided and it's rare in his work because the back actually shows the Christogram or the monogram with the Greek letters IHS standing for the first three letters of the name of Jesus in Greek. And we wanted to highlight that because we think it's double-sided. It's been argued that it's double-sided because it once served as a standard for civic processions in Siena. And of course, when you think of Siena, it was the self-professed city of the Virgin. Right. They showed great devotion. And our image, what's so nifty about it, is that Senno actually produced this type of Madonna in almost industrial quantities between 1450 to 1470. But ours is distinctive because it actually has the Christogram on the back. So it's really quite stunning, and we just wanted to get to the function behind the image.
And in the past, have we only ever seen one side of it, or did we ever rotate the painting?
Well, most recently, I can answer to most recently, at least since I've been in El Paso, because of parameters of display, we've only seen the front.
Right.
So it's kind of a big unveiling, so we're very excited about this.
How exciting. Mm-hmm. So how does one hang a double-sided painting? What goes into that?
Part of the nice. We've had a lot of great collaborators, too. Two local collaborators created a special wall with a perfectly sized niche for her to sit in. It's a not oval. It's straight on the bottom and then curved at the top.
Mm, yes,
so it makes an arch. So we have an arched wall for her to go into. Yes.
How cool.
Yes. It's going to be amazing. So people can understand.
Now, thematically, we know one of the rooms is Madonna and Child. What are the other galleries?
The second gallery is going to also focuses on sacred art, transitioning from the Madonna and Child to saints. Because when I was looking at our collection, I believe we just have a remarkable collection spanning three centuries. And I wanted to tell some of the stories behind these individuals and why they were so widely depicted in art over the years and why so many believers wanted them in altarpieces or, for instance, private images for their study or studiolo in Italian. We have a really beautiful St. Jerome by Filippino Lippi that was based on the viewpoint may have gone above the desk of a Florentine scholar in his private study, is what the experts say.
Yeah, I really
say.
Like the St. Jerome because we also have another St. Jerome by another artist. So we have two kind
so
of classic
kind of
depictions.
Them.
Yeah, one he's in his study with his classic red cardinal's cap and the lion that is his attribute. And then the other one, he's outside in the desert. In the desert, right?
Yes, it's kind of a penitential landscape.
Yeah.
Huh. Yes, he's also shown with St. Francis.
Too, right?
That gallery will also feature sacred stories. We have a remarkable collection, again, spanning three centuries, particularly stories on Christ. We have a particularly beautiful selection of nativity panels, so that will be highlighted. And then the final gallery, as a complement, explores the rise of secular art. So, of course, with the introduction of the Renaissance, kind of the rediscovery of the individual, the first portraits, as well as mythical and fantasy landscapes, culminating really with beautiful examples north and south of the Alps. So,
and I mean, it hasn't changed since 1998, is that correct? Or at least the arrangement.
Well, it certainly hasn't changed since I've been here, and I've been here since late 2011. I know we transitioned from the Turney Mansion to our current location in 1998, and I'm not sure if one of our previous directors may at some point have reconfigured the collection a bit, but this really is, for decades now, going to be a major new change and really highlight the collection in a new way, both through the reinterpretation and the didactics, and also just visually making it a cohesive, really unified gallery space that highlights the importance of these works in a new way, completely new way.
What does that feel like for you, Elizabeth, knowing that it hasn't been moved since 1998? Mm-hmm. So based on our track record, it probably won't be moved for a long time, if at all. How does that feel?
Honestly, honestly, I was just so honored. You know, I finished my PhD and I've been interested in museum work really since I was small. And I've interned at several museums, nationally and both internationally, but I've just never been given such a hands-on opportunity to work with such superlative pieces. So for me, it was really an honor and to kind of rediscover and kind of highlight some of these stories that I kind of drew, some of which from my dissertation work and some of which from the curatorial files. It's been a phenomenal experience.
And you know, what you're saying is what I think a lot of people that come to El Paso experience. It really is hands-on, whether you're a medical student or an artist.
Oh, absolutely. That's the best part.
Yes, you get to dig in and dig in a way that makes an impact. I hope, I mean,
I
we're
so.
Thankful for that.
I hope so. Yes. Thank you. Thank you very much. Yes, we're certainly excited.
In closing, I mean, is there anything that, if you've never seen the Crest Collection, if you've never been to the Museum of Art, what do you need to look for, look at, if you're going to look at one piece? And I know that's a tough question.
It is. It is for art historians.
Yes.
Maybe what I would say, something that draws your eye, whether it's the color or the figure or even the frame. We have a superlative collection of original frames. But if I personally had to choose, I think it would be in the first gallery. I would look at the Botticelli, one of the greatest masters of the entire Italian Renaissance, spanning roughly 1400 to 1600 in Italy. And we actually have a workshop production. And ours, when you look at this particular Madonna and Child, is unique because they're shown together without any accompanying angels or saints, and it was supposed to be contemplative in mode, and I think it forms one of our focus walls, brand new focus walls, and so I hope that people will come away with kind of a contemplative experience with that, but that would be my choice. But I'll leave them to decide their favorite.
But don't miss Botticelli.
Yes, exactly. Thank you.
Today, my guests have been Dr. Patrick Cable and Dr. Elizabeth Dwyer. They have been hard at work reworking, reinterpreting our Samuel H. Crest collection of European art. And it's going to be open for us to go revisit and visit time and time again on May 11th. Thank you so much for coming to State of the Arts.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.